وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders, all of us that are present here, we are all agreed on one subject. All of us are in search for the happiness, and happiness that is perpetual, that is lasting. I suppose there is no two people that can differ on this matter, that they aren't searching out for real happiness. The verse that I've recited, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the people that will come after the Muhajireen and Ansar. What will be their behavior and how would they look towards the rest of the Muslims? Allah Ta'ala says that they will make dua for them. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَالْإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. For the rest of their brethren, they will make dua. They will make dua, they will have that welfare in their hearts for the betterment of their brethren. They will strive for it, they will make dua for it. And within their hearts, they will entertain this thought that is the welfare of the believers at large, past and present. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. This is the one ingredient for perpetual happiness, and the second ingredient for this eternal happiness is that we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Our hearts bear no malice for any believer. There should be no dirt in our hearts for any believer at any time. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu had lived in the khidmat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. We know in our times, if there is a person that lived in the khidmat and the service of a buzurg, we look at him with esteem. This is his confidant. He has understood the very temperament, the mizaj of the buzurg. He has recorded his malfuzat and his sayings. So he has understood him best. Anas radiallahu anhu was ushered into the khidmat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his aunt or by his mother. He said, "My son is an intelligent child. Accept him for your service, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Later on, she comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tells him that make dua on behalf of this child. Rasulullah made dua for this child. O Allah Ta'ala, grant him barakat in his umr, in his age, and grant him barakat in his wealth. As Anas radiallahu anhu himself says that I had seen the acceptance of this dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my very lifetime. With my own hands, I have buried approximately over 100 of my own progeny. My own children, own progeny, over 100 of them. When he used to go to Makkah Mukarramah for the tawaf, then just him, his children and his descendants will cover the entire mataf. The entire area where tawaf is made, they will cover it up. It is normal, it is usual for the date palm that it bears fruit once in the year. But his orchard would bear fruit twice in the year. Now all this is the result of the Mubarak dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala grant him barakat in his age, in his life, as well as in his wealth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had held him very close to himself. There were certain things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him in private, in absolute confidence, and he would not divulge it for the rest of his life. So we can imagine this Anas is not an ordinary person. On one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, Ya Bunayya, my dear son, إِن تَسْتَطِيُوا أن تمسي وتصبح وليس في قلبك غش لأحد ففعل. My dear son, if it is possible for you that you pass the night and the morning in a way that your heart harbors no malice and ill feeling for anybody, then do so. This is a very small saying of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with a great deep meaning. We have a problem, we have a score with anybody, and immediately our memories begin to flash back about all the man's history, what he had done in the past. Oh, this was the place. And this person is talking like this. He is now raised himself to some type of prominence. But I know his early days, what he was, what he used to be. So all the person's memory, all the person's history is folded back, is winded back, and we begin to think about the person. And we cherish those evil thoughts about the person. Rasulullah is advising us something directly in contrast. That if you bring this in your life, you will find the happiness that you are in search of. There is a saying that if you harbor malice, if you harbor malice and ill feelings, happiness will dock elsewhere. Remove that malice, remove that ill feelings for your brethren. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't harbor anything. We will be in our graves, they will be lying in their graves. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. You will account for your deeds, he will account for his deeds. Why do we get ourselves tied up with that person's problems? Why do we begin to think about that person's past, his history? Is Allah Ta'ala going to take us and call us to account for that? One person came to Hazrat Mawlana Naimuddin Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and he says to him, "You know what? I want to know about Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma and the differences that they had had." So Mawlana asks him, "By what is your profession? What do you do?" He says, "Well, I bleach clothing. And by what you do, well, I sell shoes." He said, "You, aap jaakar ke apni jootiya bechte raho, you go and sell your shoes, and you go and carry on, continue bleaching your clothing. On the day of Qiyamah, and in the Qabr, Munkar Nakir is not going to come and ask you about Hazrat Muawiyah and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. They're not going to ask you about it. So why did you get yourself tied up in their problem? Yes, if it was a problem upon which Munkar Nakir is going to question you, or Allah Ta'ala will question you on the day of Qiyamah, that why did this take place in your presence? What did you do about it? Then it is a matter for you to be worried about. But it's absolutely not related to you. It's not a thing that you're going to be answerable for. Then why do you get yourself stuck into it? As a result, then the heart becomes dirty. It becomes filthy. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to frequently make this dua. رَبِّ أَعْتِ نَفْسِي تَقْوَاهَا وَزَكِّهَا أَنْتَ خَيْرُ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا أَنْتَ وَلِيُّهَا وَمَوْلَاهَا. My Rabb, grant me the cleanliness of my heart. Grant me the taqwa of my heart and the cleanliness of my heart. That I see my brothers, I see them with the cheer, I see them with happiness. When a person's heart is clear, he's got the welfare of every Muslim at heart, of all humanity at heart. When he goes out of his home, as though he's going into a garden, he's going into an orchard, here he finds fruit, here he finds flowers with good beautiful aroma and fragrance. As though everything is an enjoyment for him. Everything is enjoyable, provided his heart is clean for everybody. But if he's going to bear malice, harbor ill feelings for others, then as he's leaving his house, then here he feels this is a snake, that is a scorpion, this is a tiger, and this is a scorpion. So everything is against him. He's closing the world upon himself. It's a simple remedy to bring happiness within our own selves. There is an abundance of everything today. We reflect 40, 50 years ago. It's always good and advisable to reflect over the past. 40, 50 years ago, all of us were not as wealthy as what we are today. The affluence, the wealth that we enjoy today, it was never the 50 years ago. But there was a quality of life. There was happiness. And the reason for this happiness is basically two. One was there was contentment. We were content with that halal little sustenance that Allah had provided us. The mehman would come and everybody would rush forth to entertain him, to invite him, to show their hospitality to him. And now we actually scratch head. Though we have bought everything, but we scratch head. And we tell the person, you sure you won't come home, bhai? You sure you won't come home? All directly we go into the negative, not trying to bring the person, force the person and eat. And acquire that sawab of entertaining and extending that hospitality to that guest. This is because of an abundance of doubtful. The risk and the rosy has become doubtful, of a doubtful nature. There's an abundance of haram that is flowing all around. People have disregarded this aspect of our lives. With the result, now that type of open-heartedness is no longer there. We don't enjoy that type of happiness within our hearts. Though there is that abundance, but that happiness, that quality of life is not there. The husband doesn't have the time for the wife. The wife doesn't have the time for the children. And one doesn't have the time for the other. No time for the father. The father doesn't have time for his children. Why? Everybody is chasing after the same thing. In the tawaf, one of the recommended du'as is Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. It may not be masnoon, but it's a recommended du'a. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Reported in the hadith. Allah Ta'ala, grant me the satisfaction of my heart. Whatever you have provided for me, I must gain that satisfaction. I must feel within myself, oh Allah Ta'ala, that you have given me far more than what I deserve. Don't ever let me feel that I am deprived of what I really deserve. If I'm going to ever feel like this, then those that are below me, I'm going to swear them, I'm going to abuse them, I'm going to extort them. My money has to come. I made this investment and I need to see that I need to get that returns. I made this type of investment, 100 million, 50 million, and that returns I must get. Now all this comes about because we have left this Mubarak teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam of contentment. We feel that that success, that happiness is in that increase. Whereas Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's teaching is exactly in contrast, ask for the satisfaction. Contentment, that what Allah Ta'ala has provided for me, I feel it's much more than what I deserve. Now you will find the type of enjoyment in your namaz. In the tawaf that you will make, you will find the type of happiness. You will find the type of enjoyment. For a moment we reflect. One circle of the tawaf of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, just one circuit of the tawaf of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or the Sahaba Ikram, can it equal to the entire ummah's entire life ibadat? No, it can't. Why these qualities were there in their lives? The qualities of ikhlas, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contentment, a deep, grounded satisfaction and contentment for what Allah ta'ala has bestowed. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala who says that this was the advice Rasul Paksam had given me. You know, when some dear, near person, the father, he makes a bequest to his son, and the son holds his father in great respect. He says, this was the words of my father, and how can I ever forget it? Here Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling one of his most dearest companions, in tumsiya in tastatiu an tumsiya wa tusbiha wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin. If it is possible for you that you pass the morning and the evening in a way that you don't harbor any type of ill feeling for any person. There is a jihad that is carrying on and there is a delay in the victory on the side of the Muslims. There is a delay on the side of victory of the Muslims. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is concerned. But why? What is the reason for this delay? Now he could have said that this person is the spanner in the works. This person here, he is the cause of the delay. He brings that entire problem onto himself and he says that falsehood cannot ever stand in the face of truth. Falsehood, batil, can never stand before truth. There is a delay in the success and the victory. And this delay is on account of my sins. So I need to make istighfar, I need to make tawbah. And here he makes tawbah and istighfar, and the next moment we know it, and victory comes on the side. We hear of Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. He is contemplating about a masala. He can't find the true and the correct solution. Rather than blaming or accusing someone else, he goes, makes wuzu, performs two rakats of namaz, asks Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Oh Allah Ta'ala, it is on account of my sin that this cloud has come and blocked my understanding. This cloud has come and blocked my understanding. And if you remove this cloud, then I will be able to see the true color. I will be able to see the masla in true light, in true perspective. He would make the two rakats, and the cloud that was covering his understanding had removed, was expelled immediately. Now he sees the masla clearly. How many of us do this? That is why the Quran Sharif says in no unclear terms, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, that the one who cleanses his heart, with certainty he is successful. There is no two ways about it. Absolutely clear. You are successful in this world as well as the next. Allah Ta'ala does not restrict that success to the hereafter. He makes a general statement showing that it covers both the realms. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. You cleanse this and you will find that type of enjoyment. In every dimension of your life you will find it. Whether it's in your business, whether it's in your namaz, whether it's in your household, whether it's amongst friends, you will find that type of happiness. But provided you bring that type of purity of the heart. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَعَادٍ. It's a famous popular saying that everything has a source. We are talking about the purity of the soul, the purity of the heart. Where do we acquire this? Where do you acquire this? وَمَعَادِنُ التَّقْوَى قُلُوبُ الْعَارِفِينَ. If you want the clarity of the heart, and you are desirous of taqwa, you are desirous of the clarity of the heart, then it is by the awliya ikram, buzrugana deen, people that we call as mashayikh, khanqa. You go there and you will find, in their presence, you will find, after going through the exercises they will instruct us in, we will find the clarity of the heart. Otherwise, we will be thinking to ourselves, we are doing a lot. There will be an abundance of everything, but that quality won't be there. And the thing that really counts in the court of Allah Ta'ala is the quality. لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. In Surah Tabarak, that is supposed to be recited after Isha every day. Allah Pak says, I've created this world. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. I've created this whole operation, this whole thing of the world, I've created to see quality. Allah says, an abundance of everything. I want to see quality. What is the quality of that namaz? What is the quality of that tawaf? Maybe it's just one tawaf that you've made, but I want to see the quality of it. And this quality will come when we put ourselves through these pious people in the company of these righteous people and follow the instruction, not just sitting there, rather sitting there with fikr, with concern, and following the instruction. So Rasulullah says to Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, O Anas, if you wish, if it is possible for you, then bring that type of clarity to your heart. And listen carefully. وَهَذِهِ مِن سُنَّتِ. This is an even greater lesson. All of us like to be in the company of Rasulullah. Who won't like? Who, which mu'min and which believer won't like to be in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So Rasulullah says, وَهَذِهِ مِن سُنَّتِ. That this is my sunnah. This is my way of life. Rasulullah has millions of sunnats. We hear, and every sunnat is worthy of emulation. But if I say out of my 10 children, I say this is my child. See? There is some special thing that's going on. There's something very special about this child. That out of the 10 children, I say this is my child. So Rasulullah says, وَهَذِهِ مِن سُنَّتِ. This is my special sunnah. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. And the one that loves my sunnah, then he loves me. We don't get this wrong. Every sunnah is worthy of emulation. And to disdain and to look down upon the slightest of sunnah, it will take you out of the fold of Islam. We cannot practice some sunnah perhaps, but we don't look down upon it. That person has got the tawfiq to keep the proper beard, we don't look down upon it. We don't mock him. We don't make a mockery of him. That's what's his goat beard thing. See? We don't make a mockery of it. Yes, we make istighfar. And we ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, that Allah Ta'ala, you have blessed him, bless me as well. But I don't look down upon that person. So Rasulullah says, وَهَذِهِ مِن سُنَّتِي. This is my special sunnah. وَمَنَ حَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. And who loves and cherishes my sunnah, then he loves me. وَمَنَ حَبَّنِي فَكَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And you love me. If your love for me is earnest and true, it is sincere, you will be with me in Jannah. Such a simple lesson. We keep our hearts clean all the time. And a simple remedy to get the hearts clean. One is the company of the pious, the righteous, the awliya, khanqa, mashayikh, etc. And a simple remedy, Rasulullah himself says, La yughanu ala qalbi. Sometimes there is a cloud that comes over my heart. Wa anni astaghfirullah wa atubu ilay fil yawmi akthar min mi'ati marratin. Sometimes some type of cloud appears over my heart, and to remove and expel this cloudiness, I make istighfar. Some hadiths it is reported 100 times, and in some hadiths over 100 times. A simple way to be able to obtain this is after every namaz, after Fajr, after Zohar, for 2 minutes you make istighfar. But that istighfar and seeking, begging for repentance, is done wholeheartedly. It's not just a lip service. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. That is not istighfar. That is not istighfar. Istighfar is something that is done with a true feeling, with earnest, with the remorse and sorrow from the heart. Oh Allah Ta'ala, I am definitely wrong. I have wronged my soul. Oh Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me. I'll just relate one small incident and I'll close this talk. One friend of mine, he came to me and he says that his friend was in the theater and about to be operated for a heart surgery, open heart surgery. And he says that at that moment, I had all the wealth in the world, I was not short of anything, but just 2 things I was longing for. I was longing for 2 things. One dua was that I'm not concerned about the world now. The taste for the world has gone. And the second thing that I was craving for is Allah Ta'ala grants me 2 or 3 minutes that I can turn to Him and make some dua for to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. See? So these moments will not ever come again. And these 2 minutes after every namaz, it's a very simple solution, a very simple remedy. See? After every namaz, we make istighfar with earnest, with sincerity, with the bottom of our hearts. Oh Allah Ta'ala, do forgive us. We are all sinners. We have made a lot of mistakes, but Allah Ta'ala, your forgiveness extends and covers all our sins. It's far, far greater than the sins that we have committed. Oh Allah Ta'ala, do forgive us. Just for 2 minutes after every namaz. And inshallah, in this way, during the day, we will have covered more than 100 istighfar. In the meanwhile, the clouds of darkness and sin that have settled in our heart, they will also break, and we'll gain the type of proximity and closeness to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.